Please turn again in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. My text for tonight can be found in verse 8, a very familiar text in this chapter and in the book of Daniel. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Very simply this evening, I want to preach on the subject, godly convictions. And I pray as we come to look at this subject tonight that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to the preaching of God's word this evening. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy so great salvation. We thank thee, Lord, for all those here tonight who can read their title clear to mansions in the sky. We thank thee, Lord, that you have redeemed us, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And O God, we pray now as we turn to thy precious word, that you would come, Lord, and speak to all of our hearts. Bless your saints. We thank thee for your saints tonight, and we pray that you would encourage them. And O God, as we would consider this subject and consider this portion of Scripture, that you would challenge our hearts afresh. And O God, help us in these days to live for thee. We pray for those, Lord, in the meeting who are not saved. O God, that you would give them godly convictions, that even tonight they would be born again of the Spirit of God, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. O God, we thank thee that you're still in the soul-saving business. You're able still to save to the uttermost all that come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee that the Lord Jesus is the only Savior, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We pray tonight, O God, that you would reach down and pluck brands from the burning. So we commit this service to thee now. We pray, Lord, that you'll fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Last week, as we commenced our studies in the life of Daniel, we considered how Daniel found himself in the land of Babylon. In our introductory message last Lord's Day, we looked at the events which led up to Daniel being brought from the land of Judah down to the land of the Chaldeans. We noticed how Daniel and many others were brought as captive to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar's army, after God, because of the sin of King Jehoiakim, had given the nation into the king of Babylon's hands. As we take up our studies again tonight in the life of Daniel, we see Daniel's first test in the heathen land of Babylon. This test consisted of Daniel and a number of others being chosen for special training for the position of serving in Nebuchadnezzar's court. However, the problem that arose for Daniel and his friends was that in order to fulfill this training, they were going to have to do things against their convictions. Daniel knew that by partaking of the portion of the king's meat and drinking the wine from the king's cup, that not only would he defile himself, but also that he would dishonor and disobey the command of God. Because Daniel knew that this meat and this wine had been offered to idols, the false gods of the heathen. Therefore, Daniel had a choice to make. Would he defile himself and disobey the command of God, or would he refuse the portion of the king's meat? Well, you and I tonight know the answer to that question. Thank God, when we turn to Daniel 1 and verse 8, we see clearly that Daniel was a young man with convictions, with godly convictions. I believe Daniel 1 verse 8 is the key text to the book of Daniel, and it reveals to us the strong convictions that Daniel had as a child of God, which made him the great man which he became. And I pray as we come to look at this text tonight and consider this subject, that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts, whether we're saved or whether we're unsaved. I pray that the Lord would apply his word to us all. I believe that there's a message here for each and every one of us. And I pray that we will not miss the message that the Lord would have for us through this text of Scripture this evening. Look at the text again. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the potion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. As we study this subject tonight and consider this text of Scripture, I want you very simply to notice a number of things. First of all, I want you to notice this, that Daniel possessed godly convictions. It says in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart. And I want you to underline that little phrase, in his heart. The reason why Daniel had these convictions was because of his love for the Word of God. Daniel's convictions were based upon truth. They were based upon God's truth. The Scriptures of truth warned the children of Israel about eating in royal palaces with heathen and ungodly kings. Now, we're not going to take the time to read the portion of Scripture that reveals that to us tonight. But when you go home, you take the time to read Proverbs 23, verses 1 to 3. And you will learn from that portion of Scripture that God had forbidden the children of Israel concerning eating in royal palaces with heathen and ungodly kings. And also the children of Israel had been forbidden to eat anything that had been offered to idols or that the blood had not been drained from. Again, if you take the time when you go home to read Leviticus chapter 17, verses 10 to 14, you will find out that to be the case from that portion of Scripture. And Daniel would have been aware of these Scriptures. And Daniel would have been aware of what the Word of God taught him. Therefore, the main reason for Daniel's convictions, Daniel's godly convictions, was the Word of God. He did not want to disobey the Lord. He did not want to go against what the Word of God taught him. But I want you to notice in the text here where Daniel's convictions stemmed from. His godly convictions stemmed from his heart. Look what it says. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel's convictions were not just in his head. They were in his heart. Now, here's the proof that Daniel was a child of God and one who loved the Lord, because his heart was right before God. We're not told when Daniel was converted. But through this text of Scripture, we know that he was converted. We know that he was a child of God. And we know that there was a day in his life when he turned from his sin and accepted the God of heaven as his Savior and his Redeemer. And because he was saved and because he was a child of God, his heart was right before God and he had godly convictions. Men and women, when our hearts are right with God, then we will have convictions, godly convictions. Then we will want to live according to God's word. You see, Daniel wanted to do that which was right because his conviction stemmed from his heart. A heart that had been made right with God through God's word and through God's truth. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Daniel was guided by the word of God that was hid in his heart. That is why he was a possessor of godly convictions. I wonder, is there someone in this meeting tonight, and you're not saved, and you're not born again of the Spirit of God? My friend, you need to be saved tonight. You need to have your heart right with God. You will never have godly convictions. You will never have a desire to live according to God's word and according to God's truth until you're first saved and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And that's why it is so important for you tonight to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Daniel's God and in Daniel's Savior. Because remember this, there's only one Savior, and that is the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I wonder, do you have godly convictions tonight? Not just convictions in your head, but in your heart. And are those convictions based upon God's word and not just on your own theories? Many today have convictions, but they're neither scriptural or godly. They're based upon false religion and stem from selfish motives which flow from a wicked heart. You see, to possess godly convictions, one needs to be saved by the grace of God and living according to God's word and God's truth. Is the word of God your only rule of faith and practice? As far as Daniel was concerned, God's word was his only rule of faith and practice. And God's word was hid in his heart. He purposed in his heart. And the reason why he purposed in his heart was because his heart was right with God. It had been washed in the blood of the Lamb and saved by the grace of God. We're dealing here with a godly young man, one who was saved and one who loved the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind. Oh friend, tonight if you don't possess godly convictions, come to Christ. Turn from your sin. Get your heart right with God and turn afresh to the God of heaven. And thank God if you turn to the Lord tonight, he will save you and he will redeem you. And he will create within you a new heart. The truth is that if you're not saved tonight, then your heart is black with sin. That's why you don't have any conscience about sinning. That's why you have no conscience about living in this world, committing ungodly acts, because your heart is far away from God. Oh, I pray tonight that before you leave this meeting, that your heart will be made right with God, that you will come and bow your knee at the foot of the cross by faith and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Daniel was a young man who possessed godly convictions. But notice something else here in the text. And I'm sure that you have studied this text many times yourself. But notice, secondly, that Daniel expressed godly convictions. Verse 8 says, Daniel purposed, underline that word, Daniel purposed in his heart. Then look at the end of the text. It says, therefore Daniel requested, underline that word, Daniel requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel let his godly convictions be known. I want you to notice a number of things here about Daniel expressing his godly convictions. I want you to notice, first of all, his determination in expressing his convictions. It says, Daniel purposed. In other words, come what may, nothing was going to change Daniel's mind. He had set his mind on this matter. It was the right thing to do, and he would not be allowing anyone or anything preventing him to do what was right. Daniel would not be defiling himself with the king's meat or with the wine that came from the king's table. Look what it says in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat or with the wine which He drank. Here was a young man who was determined, come what may, that he would stand for God, obey the word of God, and do that which was right. And he expressed those convictions with determination. But I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice his graciousness as he expressed his godly convictions. Now, did you notice that in the text? At the latter part of verse 8, we read these words, therefore Daniel requested. As Daniel openly expressed his convictions, he expressed them graciously and with courtesy. It says here that Daniel requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, obviously, Daniel was not going to defile himself with the king's meat or with the king's drink, no matter what the prince of the eunuchs did or said. But it is interesting to notice Daniel's approach as he expressed his godly convictions. Although he was determined to take his stand for God and do what was right, he was determined to obey the word of God, come what may. He was determined to stand up for the God of heaven, no matter who was opposing him. But I want you to notice, and I believe this is very important, that he did it with grace. He did it with grace. Child of God, it is important for you and me to express our godly convictions. In other words, to let others know what we believe and what we stand for. We need to be determined in these days to stand up for truth and for righteousness. Are you expressing your godly convictions? It's one thing to possess godly convictions. It's another thing to express godly convictions. And here we have Daniel, and he's letting others know what he believes. He's letting others know that he belongs to Jehovah, the God of heaven. He's letting others know what the Bible teaches. He's letting others know that what the Bible says is what he believes. But as he expresses those convictions with determination, he does it gracefully. He does it gracefully. We need to express our godly convictions, yes, but we need to express our godly convictions graciously so that others might see Christ in us. In other words, we shouldn't be ignorant when we're expressing our godly convictions. Keep your hand in Daniel chapter 1 and turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Here we have the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he comes to exhort the Christians at Ephesus to take their stand for the Lord. Look what Paul says in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 4. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Paul here is speaking about steadfastness in the faith. He is speaking about expressing our godly convictions, letting others know that we're saved, letting others know where we stand, letting others know what we believe, letting others know that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and the word of God. But then look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In other words, as Paul exhorts the saints at Ephesus to let their godly convictions be known, he also expresses to them the importance of preaching the truth and standing up for our convictions with love in our hearts. Can you see there what is happening? Even in the life of young Daniel. We always like to emphasize the first part of the verse, and rightly so. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not. But child of God, never forget the latter part of the verse. He requested. He showed grace as he stood for God. And it's so important that you and I who are saved, as we stand for God, that we do it gracefully. That others might see Christ in us. So that we might win those that we're speaking to the Lord. Also, of course, when you're considering Daniel expressing his godly convictions, you must consider not only his determination and his graciousness, but you must consider his courage. What Daniel did here took great courage. We must never underestimate that. The prince of the eunuchs could have marched Daniel right to the king of Babylon, where Daniel would have been executed immediately. You see, Daniel was expressing godly convictions in a hostile environment. He was in Babylon, the heathen capital of the world. And yet, with great courage, he still did that which was right. He remained faithful to his godly convictions in the most trying of circumstances. It's hard for you and I to imagine the circumstances that Daniel were in here. We just read the story and we think great and we think highly of Daniel. But you know, when you consider for a moment the circumstances that he was in a foreign land in Babylon, in a heathen place. And yet we have him here showing great courage and saying, I will not defile myself with the portion of the king's meat or with the wine which he drank. Child of God, no matter where we are in this world, let us be faithful to God and his word. You know, this nation of ours is changing. This United Kingdom. But it's not changing for the better. It's changing for the worse. The laws of God are being cast into the street. God's truth has been set aside. You and I are not to go with the crowd. We are to maintain godly convictions and we are to express godly convictions whatever our circumstances. At work, we are to express godly convictions. From day to day in our community, we are to express godly convictions. Wherever we are found, we are to let others know what we believe. And that we have the truth, and that the Bible is the precious word of the living God. We are to do it gracefully, yes, but we are to do it with determination, and we are to do it with courage. When Paul was writing to the saints at Galatia, he wrote these words in Galatians 5 verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And indeed when Paul was writing to the saints at Thessalonica, he gave them the same command. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15 he says, therefore brethren, stand fast. And hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And again in Philippians, on the chapter 1, and the verse 27, Paul again emphasizes to the saints at Philippi that they had to stand for truth and for righteousness and for godly convictions. Philippians 1 and verse 27, we read these words, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. For the faith of the gospel. O child of God, we're not living an easy day as we're living in hard times. And the devil is going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it seems as if everyone is against the Church of Jesus Christ. But whatever our circumstances, we must not only possess convictions, godly convictions, but we must express them. And expressing godly convictions just simply means telling forth what the Bible teaches, telling forth what the gospel is, telling forth what God declares in his truth. And may we never be ashamed. The Apostle Paul could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And why should we be ashamed of the gospel? Because the gospel is the greatest message. The word of God is the greatest message and the only message for poor sinners and for this world today. Now, I want you to take a look at this passage of Scripture again. I want you to notice something else here about godly convictions. I want you to notice not only that Daniel possessed godly convictions, not only did he express godly convictions, but I want you to notice, thirdly, that Daniel influenced others because of his godly convictions. Look with me at verse 11 and 12 of Daniel chapter 1, and you'll read these words. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now, in verse 8, Daniel is purposing in his heart, singular. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart. There's no mention in verse 8 of Daniel's friends. But by the time we come to verse 11 and 12, Daniel's friends are also purposing in their hearts that they will do the same. Isn't that interesting? Daniel was the first to take a stand for God on this occasion, but he was not the last. And because of Daniel's faithful stand, others followed. Daniel influenced his three friends. Is that not interesting? Men and women, through our convictions, we can influence others for good. By expressing godly convictions and taking our stand for the truth, we can influence others. And if our convictions are godly and based upon the Word of God, then we can influence others for the Lord. There's a wonderful portion of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul, again under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul says as he writes to the Christians at Corinth. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of the Lord. Be ye followers of me. In other words, follow my godly example. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling the saints here to do. You know, there's nothing wrong with following a man or a woman's godly example. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with looking up to godly men and godly women. If they're expressing godly convictions, and if they're living out in their lives those godly convictions. And Paul here is simply saying, follow me as I follow Christ. And oh, child of God, as we live our lives upon this earth, we influence others. We either influence them for good or for evil. And I pray as we seek to live for the Lord in this our day and generation, that the Lord will help us to lead others to Christ. And that others might see our godly example, and as they look upon us, as we seek to serve the Lord, that they will follow us. That's what happened here in Daniel chapter 1. Godly convictions. You know, in the godly convictions of Daniel, we have a picture of how to overcome temptation. This was a real test for Daniel, and of course for his friends as well. There seemed to be no way out for Daniel in this situation. The king had given a command, and we must remember that this was a command from Nebuchadnezzar. They had to eat the meat. They had to drink the wine. They had no choice in the matter, humanly speaking. So Daniel's back was really up against the wall here. And Daniel could have so easily yielded to the temptation because of his circumstances and because this directive had come from the king himself. He could have said to himself, I have no choice but to obey the king's command. But he did not say that. Daniel overcame the temptation. And he overcame the temptation here because he stood firm and because he displayed faith and trusted in the God of heaven. Daniel was unwavering. Notice that God gave Daniel a way of escape. Now, did you notice that as you read on down the portion of Scripture? Look at verse 9. And you read these words. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Daniel's circumstances gave him a way of escape. You know what the Bible tells us, child of God? The Bible tells us over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Those wonderful words. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. That's what Daniel's doing here in verse 8. He's fleeing from idolatry. When he says, I'm not going to partake of the king's meat and I'm not going to drink the king's wine. This food and this drink that has been offered to idols. God has commanded me not to partake in it. Fleeing from idolatry. Saying, I will not have any part of idolatry. Now Daniel at that point in verse 8, I believe, was willing to die for his faith. And as you read on through the book of Daniel, Daniel was willing to die for his faith. And of course, the three Hebrew children were willing to die for their faith as well. But you can see here how God stepped into the situation and how God delivered Daniel and his friends. Oh, child of God, throughout our lives we will be tempted. Tempted to go astray, tempted to sin, tempted to go into bypath meadows. It's so important at that time that we stand firm and that we trust in the Lord and that we cast our all upon Him. And the Lord will give us victory over the temptation. He will give us a way of escape. He'll give us a way of escape. And there's no doubt that the Lord had His hand upon the situation here. Do you possess godly convictions? Well, express them. Don't be ashamed to tell others what you believe and what you stand for. And as you express them, do it with determination, do it with courage, and do it gracefully. And the Lord will use you as you express your convictions to influence others for good. That's what we learn here from this passage of Scripture and this text of Scripture. May God help us all in these days to stand up for truth and to live for the Lord. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not saved. You're not born again of the Spirit of God. You have no godly convictions. Because your heart is not right with the Lord. Oh, my friend, come tonight and trust the Savior. You need your heart right with God. Because someday you will stand before Him. And on that day, If you stand before him with a heart that's black with sin, you will hear those words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Come to Christ tonight. Thank God there's one who can cleanse you from your sin, and there's one who can save you for time and for eternity, and there's one tonight who can change your heart, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And thank God there's a way of escape from hell and from judgment to come. And that's through the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And then you tonight can leave God's house with godly convictions. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. May God help us in these days, child of God, to live for the Lord. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee this evening for the precious word of God. And O God, we pray that you would come and bless it to our hearts. We pray, Lord, in these days you would help us to stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. O God, we know what we believe. We thank thee for the convictions that you've given to us. We thank thee for thy word. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to hide your word deep within our hearts. But, O Lord, help us to express our convictions, to tell others what is right, and to tell others what thy word teaches, and to live for thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the saints of God in this house who seek to live for thee day by day. Bless them, strengthen them, encourage them. And O God, although many times we don't see it, we thank thee, Lord, that the godly life is an example to all around us. And O Lord, we believe that only eternity will reveal how our lives will have counted for thee in our families, among our workmates, in our communities. O God, I pray that others will see Christ in us, and that we'll be able to say like Paul, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Lord, bless your word tonight. Bless your saints. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.